You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're getting into starting to look at spring ball, cranking up here, Mike. There's a bunch of things everybody's kind of looking at and evaluating. And I think there's no doubt that quarterback room from top to bottom, there is genuine intrigue all the way down the list. Mike, I never remember a time where we entered spring ball and I genuinely had curiosity to see every quarterback and what they could do. That alone, before we even get into this, is progress to me that I genuinely want to see all those guys and what they could do. That's progress.
Okay. So you and I've talked about this. Let's have this quarterback conversation. Always meat on this bone, brother. There's always meat on this bone. Fans are pulling for Steve Angeli. Oh, Steve-O, right? You and I have talked about this a time or two, and it's kind of just because – he's the next man up.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Minshew guy. Fans might not really take the time to like critically think. But
I don't.
Go ahead.
Here's the issue. You break down tape for fun. Okay. You do. You literally will text me like, oh, I'm having a couple beers, breaking down recruiting. It's the most beautiful thing for you to be that football-y. I don't think regular fans do that.
Sure.
And regular fans have not seen Kenny Minchie out in actual games, even in mop-up duty, the way that they have Angeli. And I just think that's why their allegiance is it goes to that because they just haven't seen the other guy.
But
I think it's that simple. We haven't seen enough of Kenny for people to get on the Kenny wagon.
But there is a degree of where Notre Dame fans are like rooting. So forget the physical skill sets, this physical ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a degree where fans are like genuinely rooting for Steve Angeli because he's kind of a Notre Dame-y guy. There's absolutely, that's a huge piece to this in terms of like the fan dynamic. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. But I don't know that Kenny's not a Notre Dame-y guy. Is it just because people like, here we, it's like all niche-y. Just like Sam and his hair and all that, I think people like putting peanut butter and jelly time on Twitter. Like, I think it's all a part of it, man. He's got this little cult following. He does. He's got that little thing.
Oh, I love this. I love these conversations, John. Are Notre Dame fans, John, are they accustomed to rooting for like underdog quarterback type things? You know, they had the intangible guy. the leadership. He's got leadership. He's got a work ethic. He's confident. He's calm. Like, is that what we're accustomed? Is that what
It's all we have. We have not. I would prefer to lean on, look at this guy being awesome.
Yeah.
Winning, putting the team on his back and putting together the winning drive in the biggest game of the year, something.
Amazing.
We have not had that. So you end up gravitating to the vibe guy, the leadership guy, the grinder, the intangibles, the I'm going to lay my whole body on the line. All of the things you say about quarterbacks other than just saying we have an elite quarterback and that's the end of it.
How interesting, right?
Yes, because that's all we have to hold on to, Mike. The guy holding on to the Sam's hair and beard as a positive is better than your quarterback having no positives, I guess. But it's never about here's our elite guy that could put the team on his back. We're going to go win our biggest game of the year because of that dude. We're waiting for that guy.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
That's interesting. But yeah, so it's like, it's almost like abusive is too strong of a word, but it's like we've become accustomed to seeking out the wrong things in our relationship with our quarterbacks. You know what I mean? It's like we fall in love with the intangible guy versus looking at a guy. And that's my argument about like a Minshew perhaps versus an Angeli is somebody that has a little bit more physical gifts, a few more physical tools, just more natural ability than Steve, who might be more of an intangible guy.
Yeah.
And I think there's an element there where that's where like fans glom on to like that intangible piece.
Do you think that this spring, because of the dynamics, help Kenny Minchie out with the idea that you got a new OC coming in here and it's kind of a little bit of a clean slate to a certain extent? Do you think that helps Kenny or kind of get his foot in the door here on a clean slate, or is that a neutral thing? Or does that favor one guy or another when you're looking at Angeli Minshew? How do you think that's going to unfold?
I don't know. I think, you know, you're kind of the psychology guy. I sent you a message last night in terms of just like, if you look at Steve Angeli's mental state, mentality, approach to this spring, his mindset, and then Kenny's mindset. Because let's start with Steve first. This is Steve's third offensive coordinator, which is a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
And this is his second big shot, big money rental quarterback that he has to compete against. And that's like, man, that takes a lot of like emotional horsepower to like, it's a lot of stick-to-itiveness. Like, God dang, dude, this is the second or third time I'm having to go through this. And now I've got Kenny Minchie kind of nipping at my heels. Kenny Minchie's mindset, fresh start, baby.
Yeah.
Fresh start. The adults are in charge. Coach Denbrock's in the room. You know, Coach Gino. So it's just like, if I'm not trying to crawl inside their brains, but it's like, if I think that Kenny Minchie's mindset might be a little bit more glass half full than like Angeli's. Now I got, Carr's got, you know, Angeli's got Carr in the mix now.
You know, and you got Deuce creeping up behind that. There's no, if you're Angeli, man, I would love to be in that guy's head. Are you frustrated that you feel like every time a spot opens where you can move up the rung, another guy gets dropped right in front of you, kind of?
That's what I'm saying.
Or is Steve like, okay, I know I'm not the most athletically gifted dude in the world, and I understand this is just how this goes now in college football, and I'm not mad about it. How does that, or is that just depend on your personality, your mindset? Well, deal with this.
Well, and that's where this is nuance, baby. More nuance, yep. John. But it's like, again, I think that's why fans are kind of, generally speaking, pulling for Angeli. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
But it's like they feel like that he's earned his opportunity because he's been through so much bullcrap, right?
Yeah.
And like, here's more. Oh, you haven't had enough. Here's another scooping, Steve.
Yeah.
Swallow it down. And he's just going to sit there and be a good boy, Notre Dame-y, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's 100% understandable if there's a high level of frustration from Steve this spring. So it's just, it's interesting, the whole dynamic.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Mike, I'm surprised I've gotten this question emailed to me multiple times. I also saw it in my chat this morning on a call-in show, and I'm a little surprised by it. There are Notre Dame fans that really think Angeli can compete with a healthy Riley Leonard for the starting role. If they're both healthy, how do you see that as a reality? I've gotten asked this multiple times.
No, I know.
And I thought that the competition was for that number two spot, but that it was just kind of obvious. But I got that question three times in the last couple of days. They can call it an open competition all they want, but like, I'm talking about the reality of it. I see it much, much more about that number two position and what happens with the guy who loses that than I do a competition for the starter between Steve and a healthy Riley Leonard. If Riley Leonard's not healthy, then this is a totally different discussion. How do you see that? I'm a little surprised I've got asked that as much as well, I think
everybody's kind of discussed that. I mean, when there's money, when there's donors, collectives, all this involved, you know, and you're paying Riley $1 million+ to come here, it's like, yeah, he's going to be given every opportunity to become the starter. So it's not going to be a true competition. And you've talked about this, and poor Marcus has to go up there and spin it and keep spinning and spinning.
Yep.
And it's like, in like, to your point, you're like, Notre Dame fans are so Christian to a degree, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, well, you mean to tell me Marcus is lying? It's like, he's not lying. He's not lying. I mean, per se, it's a white lie. He's bending the truth to protect the program and, you know, the integrity of that quarterback room and whatever. But, you know, Riley Leonard's your starter. I mean, the interesting thing, and this goes back to the last couple of years that we've gone through this exercise with transfer quarterbacks in this, I've always asked, what's the freaking criteria? If this is a competition, even for the number two spot, the number three spot, what are these poor kids being judged on? What are the metrics? How are they being assessed? How are they being evaluated? Yeah. So I know how to keep score if I'm in that competition.
You've always brought that up. Whenever this has come up, you have said, give me a 5-bullet point checklist of what we're looking for here. So we all know the scorecard, at least. You bring that up every time as being a big deal for you to know that evaluative process.
For sure, man. I mean, I got to know why I'm putting my socks on in the morning. I'm going out. Otherwise, I'm just going out to practice and just doing my best. Like, what do I need to focus on?
Yeah.
I don't think it's, I mean, it makes too much sense. It's,
yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question. There's something else, man. I was watching last night. Marcus Freeman was on some podcast or something about CEOs or leadership. I can send you do you see this?
Mike, I saw that too. And it surprised me because I had no idea what that show is. And they they don't even have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So whoever that guy is must have an in to be able to get in the locker room and record, because that is a tiny podcast on YouTube I've never heard of. And they were in the locker room. So I did see that. Yeah, I did.
It happened. So, but yeah, just to set it up, and I just wanted to, it's something that I just wanted to interject this into the pod. I don't know if this correlates to the quarterback conversation, but it was the setup for the show was like the CEOs was about leadership. And like the opening question to Marcus was like, you know, your title isn't CEO, but basically, Marcus, you act as the CEO of this program. And then Marcus kind of goes into that this is a business. And then he said something, John, go back. It's like in the first minute two, three of this little 20-minute interview, he says, I'm not responsible for all the what do you say? He goes, I don't get to make all the decisions around here, but I'm responsible for them. Mm. And when your whole angle with the admin, all of that, he's like, I don't get to make a lot of the decisions or most of the decisions or all the decisions. I forget exactly what he said, but he's like, but I'm responsible for them. And I was like, how interesting.
That's a weird place to exist day to day. That's
whatever the outcome is, I gotta get behind that podium and own it. You know, when we're talking about the quarterback conversation, the competition, as it were.
Interesting. Yeah, man, that is really interesting.
But I just really wanted to focus on the mentality of, and it's just something to kind of just stew on, like Kenny's mentality going into this spring, Steve's going into his second, third, fourth spring, third offensive coordinator, second rental quarterback. He's got all this young talent nipping at his heels. Mm-hmm. It's a sticky spot for him to be in. I don't envy it. But what is his mindset going into this spring? Is it one of a little bit of frustration? There has to be an element there. He's a human being.
You would think so. In today's fast-paced digital age, seamless and secure transactions for your business aren't a luxury. They're an absolute necessity. That's where your friends at Paisly step in. Paisly's in the business of making your business run smoother, not just as a payment processor, but as a true partner in your success and growth. Paisly's platform is intuitive. The fees are transparent, security ironclad, processing instant, and the support team is unmatched. If you're looking to take your business to the next level anywhere in the United States, Call one of the all-stars of Always Irish Radio, Chicago's very own Tom Frawley at 773-332-7742 or email him tom@paisleypartners.com for a personalized payment processing consultation addressing your unique business needs. And be sure to tell them Always Irish sent you. And then the last thing about the quarterback dynamic before we roll into spring is, I think a lot of people believe this offense will be in a much more stable place with Denbrock on board and his experience and vision and work with quarterbacks. For the quarterback specifically, you know, you got your man Geno there working with them, and that's good, and I like his, what he's doing. With Denbrock coming in, how big of a difference do you think that makes for these that quarterback room to have him come in here? Like either practically or competitively, maybe that's a new spark because you got a new guy you're not on his good side or bad side yet. You want to prove things. How does that work when you drop a new OC right in there and then you got to navigate that? Like, what's that dynamic going to be like?
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of threads to pull here.
There's so much. My mind, John, jumps to Coach Geno. My mind jumps to Coach Geno. Mike Denbrock is kind of king shit in that building right now. I mean, this is his third time coming back.
Yeah.
Like, Denbrock knows what these Notre Dame kids are. The faces change, the names change, but they're like the general makeup of these young men is the same.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Mike Denbrock's met a Steve Angeli before. You feel me on this?
Yeah.
So then I sit there and go, Coach Geno's not going to be, he should be hanging on to every single word Denbrock has to say. Because Denbrock has made it to the highest level of like college football, save for being a head coach at like a Power Five big time program. It's not the way Denbrock's cut. I don't think he ever wanted to do that. Probably could have. So Denbrock's going to be like a sponge hanging on to every word. This is just me spitballing. Denbrock's got to say. And then it's different strokes for different folks in terms of what Coach Denbrock wants in a quarterback in terms of a skill set. So I just sit there, and this is something I've spent a little bit of time on. It's like, and Denbrock's been with Brian Kelly for a number of years. So might Denbrock go into that quarterback room, watch him throw at a couple practices, John, and be like, nah, one of these guys is an RKG.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
And you talk about his relationship to Kelly. And it's just like, and I just had a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
I got an RKG program guy. East Coast guy, Brian Kelly quarterback, 3-star. And I've got some other guys with some more physical upside.
Who knows? Yeah, man, that's a lot of new. Those are a lot of new relationships, a lot of feeling each other out, a lot of trying to be competitive, but respectful of like, we're all in this together at the same time. I don't think that's the most comfortable place to exist, Mike. Competing, but you're like all on the same team, but you're also kind of looking out for yourself. That's a little complicated way to live.
Oh, man, is it ever, John?
Welcome to football.
Yeah, and we've heard how close that quarterback room is, which we all love and appreciate, but at the same time,
you gotta be for you too. You gotta,
I'm trying to win a job. I want to play in the league. I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Man. And then it's like, and then you got to look back. You have to look back at 2023. I think that Sam Hartman was there kind of to cure a lot of like the ills, like general ills. Coach Parker's thrust into this role as a play caller. Not his fault. He wasn't, you know, Bill Walsh year one. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that Sam can give us a little bit softer landing because he's 37 years old. Surprised there's no gray in his hair as old as he is, you know?
He's using just for men already. I guarantee it. Yeah, there isn't one gray strand from the Clemson game in there. Nothing. Nothing.
Incredible. So, and then it's like, so, you know, Sam is going to be create a softer landing. And Steve is an extension of that as well, right, John? Because it's like, well, he's been in the program. So, God forbid something happens to Sammy boy. You know, we've got Steve here who's been in the program. He's calm. He's got leadership, right? There's less risk involved. Last year was about kind of getting through the year, mm-hmm. getting through the year offensively mm-hmm. versus now you got Denbrock. It's like, I would like to think that you're going to be assessing that quarterback room based off of upside traits, skill sets versus, you know, he's a great team leader and he's calm.
Yeah. Oh man. There's a lot of intrigue here, but I think a lot of it feels like it's on the plus side. We're just going to have to see how it works out. So, man, that's going to be interesting. And that quarterback thing, it isn't just about now. What happens this year dictates down the road, too. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. It isn't just about who's going to be 1-2 this year. The way this stacks out could really shift what happens in a couple more years. So that's why you got to make sure you know what you're doing here, because it's going to have a trickle down.
Do you have any thoughts about how this might shake out, you know, down the road?
My number one question is, does whoever not get the backup role hit the portal like Buckner did after Blue and Gold? That's my number one question with the quarterback room. That number three guy, what does he do? I think that's the immediate question. Well,
Buckner hit the portal because Sam told him he was promised the job. And Buckner was outplaying. Now, of course, now a year removed, you hear that Buckner was outplaying Hartman throughout the course of the spring. And then Sam's getting more and more and more reps. And Buckner's like, well, what the hell? Sam tells him, I was guaranteed the job. And Buckner, that's why, the spring game, he looked like ass. Yeah. He was totally checked out.
Checked out, yeah.
And he was set up to make Sam look good. I mean, for sure.
But so again, that's why, God, I hate this, though, because it's like, it's icky. But that's driven by the money of the boosters because we're doing NIL. And then that bleeds into the locker room because there's no way for it not to. Like, that's another way the modern game is changing everything, because that's not really Sam's fault. It's definitely not Tyler's fault, but the dynamic and those outside influences put pressure in the locker room. That's where fans get uncomfortable, because there's no way that money doesn't put pressure on the situation.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
But you know, if you're like, if you look at like the NFL model, okay, well, we took Caleb Williams number one overall, you know, Travis Bagent, or whatever, Tyler Bagent, the Bears starting quarterback, dude, he knows the deal. I'm making league minimum. We just gave this guy 30 mil guaranteed.
Yeah.
I got to find a way to like stick. I got to find a way to like stay here. And I know full well I'm not going to be the starter, but he's also making $800,000 a year, right? So it's just, there's a lot that goes into it. Man. What was even the question, John? Oh, we're talking about how this plays out and who potentially leaves in the portal.
Yeah.
And who might be asked or like ushered into the portal.
Yeah. They got to figure this out. Right.
I got a thought, John. As you would say, go with me here, right? Go with me on this.
Hey.
Riley Leonard, your starter for 1 year. This is so fun. This quarterback transfer thing is just the gift that keeps on giving, man. It is really remarkable. So 2024, you got Riley. So 2025, the quarterbacks in that room, save for, you know, any changes in the, you know, portal additions, subtractions, whatever, you still got Steve, you got Kenny, you got Carr.
Yep.
2026, I don't know if Steve's still around, but you got Kenny in terms of eligibility. The whole COVID thing screws me up with eligibility. You got Kenny, Carr, and you got old boy Deuce. there's something here where if Carr becomes like your starter in 2025, thinking down the road, it makes it really, really difficult to insert Deuce into your starting lineup. You know, so we talk about somebody leaving, somebody staying. You're not making any assumptions. But like if I'm thinking long-term, big picture, because Deuce Knight has like first pick overall, God-given, just raw ability. He really does in a way that we've frankly maybe never seen here.
So John, wait, are you suggesting the timing would be Deuce needs time to develop, but by that time, Carr will be rounding into form, and then it would be hard for him to jump in then when Carr's on the other end of his developmental track where he's ready in his prime? And then what if Deuce is pop and then you got a situation? Is that, am I following you?
Yeah, I think. And it helps to literally write it out because, I mean, you're forecasting 3 years down the road.
Yeah, the overlap.
But like Riley's the guy this year, 2025. If Penny is the guy in 2025, that I can get 2-3 years with Kenny, because that's like the whole thing in terms of building a football program. It's like you want some consistency at the position.
Yeah.
God love us, John. I feel like 4 years in a row, it's like 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. Yeah. It's annoying. But if Kenny becomes your starter in 2025, that gives Deuce a couple years to kind of marinate. But like the runway is set. There is no runway if Carr, who's a couple years younger than Kenny, it becomes your starter. So like as I'm sitting there going like, who might transfer out? It might make more sense if Carr transferred out. If you are like me, dead set on Deuce, it's easier if Carr is the odd man out.
Oh man, yeah, you're adding to my take of their evaluations. They got to know what they got, because you can't mess up is getting married to one of these guys and then another guy leaves, and then you end up figuring out we hitched our wagon to the wrong guy, and the guy you want to lean to, you already ran off. That's what you can't do, because then you're strike two right away.
Yeah, and you want to win now. We got to focus on this year, but then also, man, I do have to factor in personnel decisions and keeping everybody happy. Because, you know, CJ Carr is not going to get a lot of attention this year.
Yeah.
He's just not going to.
Yeah.
Does that lead to some frustration? And then, like, next thing you know, here's Deuce Knight in the building. And if I'm sitting there like, golly, look at that kid. He's running 4.4. He's 6.5. Ooh. Jumping out of the building. You know, massive hands, can spin that ball. And it's just like, that is going to be a shiny new toy that I'm going to want to pour into.
And the other thing is that offensive coordinator, I think he enjoys working with that type of quarterback. Look what he just did. He likes that type of dude too, because of the flexibility. Mike, these are big decisions right in the meat of the beginning of the Freeman era, like when he's not the new guy, but hitting into the meat of that first contract. They got to get this right. There's a lot of big decisions, and you get to trust your evaluations and Denbrock and Gino. Unless it becomes clear, maybe some of this becomes clear because the play, maybe it just sets its own pecking order. I'm not sure.
My only advice to like any of those young men this spring, for that backup role, let them hang, John.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's going to come down to decision-making, execution, running the huddle for sure. But like, if you get a chance to make an explosive play, to maybe roll the dice a little bit, you know, get out of the pocket, whatever is the case, show Coach Denbrock.
Do it. Yeah.
Pedal to the metal. Dude, well, I'm breaking the speed limit versus driving two under. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Your mentality this spring, go get it.
There's always a lot to watch in the spring. This one's chock full of storylines. So in the quarterback thing, that's going to be an ongoing thing to look at.